Ding, ding.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
And that's the bottom line.
Check it out.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
They have no other. They have no equal.
And all American, they're going to say.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Come on, Ken.
When we hear those wrestlers,
yeah,
we need that kind of mentality as we broadcast live today from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. The Kenny and JT Show is on the air and everywhere. And Kenny, we're ready for playoff action, man. Let's go.
Yeah, this is it, man, right? This is the pivotal Game 5, series tied 2-2. Cavaliers won the first two right here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And then you follow that up with Orlando holding serve on their home floor, blowing out the Cavaliers in back-to-back games. And now, here we go. It's a best of three. It started as a best of seven. Now it's a best of three. First 1-2 wins advances to the next round of the playoffs, where they'll play more than likely the Boston Celtics, who went up 3-1 with their win last night over the Miami Heat.
These two teams are so similar. Their records were almost identical at the end of the season. And the thing you remember is the fact that each team really set out to do what they do well, and that's win at home. So the Cavaliers win the first two games at home. Orlando responds with two blowout wins at home. So that's the thing that's really got a lot of Cavalier fans, you and myself, kind of on the edge of our seat. But if we know anything, it's that the Cavaliers know how to protect this house, and this joint's going to be rocking tonight, man.
Yeah, they've got it decorated. We're not going to give it away, but they've got it decorated and ready for the fans to walk in here around 6:30 to start making a ruckus, making some noise, raise the roof, a little bit. And we're looking forward to what we think will be a close game from beginning until end that may be decided in the fourth quarter. And hopefully this time, after the last two games, the Cavaliers will be the team that comes out on top like they did in games 1 and 2.
You hope a little bit of you goes back into those first two games, and you hope that maybe the Cavaliers may have taken Orlando a little bit lightly due to the fact that you had large leads in those first two games. But you let them get away, and maybe you took your foot off the gas pedal, so to speak, towards the end of those first two game wins, because you had leads of 22 points and 20 points in both those games, and maybe, we're going to go down to Orlando, we're going to handle business. Maybe they ran into a buzzsaw. Maybe it's just they weren't focused enough to play on the road. But when I look at these two teams and I compare the rosters, I like what I see in the Cavaliers. I just want to see them play four quarters of good basketball.
Well, that's the question. Can they put it together for 48 full minutes? We have not seen them do that a lot since the All-Star break.
Right.
We've had different lineups, injuries, guys in, out, and there have been times where in quarters they've looked like the best team in the Eastern Conference. Then there are times like the last two games, especially in the third quarter against Orlando, where you go, how the hell did they get outscored 72-26 in the last two third quarters combined? And it drives you up a freaking wall.
Well, you wondered how long it was going to take J.B. Bickerstaff to coach this roster, the playoff roster I'm speaking of, when he got everybody, or as far as the most guys were healthy, with the exception of Dean Wade, what it was going to take in the playoffs and how it might materialize, because those guys, let's face it, Kenny, they didn't spend a lot of quality time together on the floor, and as we all know, they don't get a chance to practice that much either. So it's interesting to see, now that you've got four games under your belt and you're playing the same opponent on a nightly basis, you should have learned something by now, don't you think?
Yeah, you hope that they've learned something. You hope after watching the films of the last two games, look at me saying films, the video of the last two games, right, that you've figured out why you've got outscored 72-26 in the third quarter, and you've been outscored for the entire series in the third quarter. What happens at halftime? What adjustments are the Magic making that the Cavaliers are not making, or why is it different in the second half than it is in the first half?
Statistics and numbers, when you get into a playoff situation in a seven-game series with the same opponent, in my opinion, they've got to go out the window, because when you consider the fact that Cavaliers average about 13 threes per game, they're not getting close to that in this series. And when you consider the fact that the Cavaliers seemingly want to run the same offense that they did in the regular season, it doesn't work. So what happened in Game 3 was they pounded the paint, had great success with it in the first half, but why they got away from it in the second half, or maybe it was taken away, tells me that either Orlando made adjustments at halftime and you didn't, and you were just cruising along thinking that we're just going to go the way we got here, and it just didn't work. I think J.B. Bickerstaff has to look at it a little bit differently tonight and say, look, we get the lead, we don't give it back. And, you know, the first two games, Kenny, you never gave up a lead in those two games. Orlando never had the lead in either one of the first two games, but seemingly once they took control in Orlando, Cavaliers couldn't respond. Do they need to get a lead and not have it be a close game for them to win?
I don't know. What have we consistently been saying about the Cavaliers? They are consistently inconsistent, and we don't know from game to game, quarter to quarter, which Cavaliers team is going to show up.
Well, I think the consistency is right there. The proof is in the pudding. They get the lead. They've got to keep it. That's the consistency. The inconsistency arises when it gets a little bit tight, maybe nerves start to rise a little bit, and our stars aren't making the plays they're supposed to be making. Max Strus hasn't been shooting well. George Niang hasn't been making what he normally makes, especially from three. The only person right now that's played consistent through four games, in my opinion, has got to be Jared Allen. So what do? Do you base the offense around your center? Who plays like that in the NBA today?
Yeah.
Nobody.
So what? If that's what makes you better, if that's what helps you win games, then you know what? You go away from the three-point shots that you're making. You ready for this? At a dismal 23% clip as a team. They are 29 for 123. They've almost missed 100 three-pointers in this series through the first four games. Think about that. That means they're missing 25 three-pointers a game so far in this series. So if you're not connecting on those, hello, it means, well, what are you connecting on? Well, Jared Allen in the post, Evan Mobley in the post, driving in for pull-up jump shots as opposed to forcing up three-pointers that even when you're wide open, you're not making. So that's the part that, has to change if this team's going to advance.
Through four games, the Cavaliers have yet to eclipse the century mark. They haven't scored 100 points yet. I don't know what the season average is or was, but it's got to be a lot higher than 91.25 points per night. So the Cavaliers have to respond somehow, some way tonight. In a game that tips off at 8 o'clock tonight, you're pretty much the only game in town, even though there's, three games on the board tonight?
Yeah, I don't care about those three. Like, last night I watched every game.
It's not my point. My point is this. What have we always seen Donovan Mitchell do when they're the only game in town? It's kind of like the Browns on a Monday Night Football. Your stars, usually, when we go out to they played in France, when they had a nationally televised game, usually Donovan Mitchell, when he's healthy, responds with a great night, doesn't he? Let's hope tonight's the same thing.
I expect him. He had 30 points in game one, hasn't come close to that in games two, three, and four. I'll rephrase that. I don't expect him. He needs to score 30 points or more tonight if the Cavaliers are going to get a victory, because nobody else outside of Jared Allen has shown that they can step up and provide the help that is necessary, like other teams that advanced in the playoffs have been getting from other players, not just their superstar.
We know what the recipe is. The recipe is stars have to play like it. We say that in all sports, don't we? And we also know this. You can't make mistakes. You can't beat yourself. You can't turn the ball over. This Cavalier team, turning the ball over in this playoffs at an alarming rate. And the Cavaliers are 22-13 when they win the turnover battle. Now, I just said that I don't want to look into the stats during the regular season. But when it's something like that, something that I think you can change. You know, when you just go down the lane and you throw it to the other colored jersey, that is something, in my mind, you can fix. If you're missing threes, sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold. You're not going to make them all, right?
Yep.
A good clip is, 40%? You're not making 50% of your shots. Okay, fine. Pass the ball to someone else, but make sure he's got the same color jersey on.
Turnovers in this series, they are giving it up two more times a game than the Magic are.
Yikes.
And you might say, well, so what? It's two more turnovers. Well, if you've watched a lot of these playoff games that end up being 1-2-3-point games, those two possessions could mean the difference between a win and a loss, so you can't afford to give it up more than the other team does.
You know what else it does, Kenny? It puts that other team on a run, and it makes them feel good about themselves. What does AC say all the time? Defense turning to offense, right?
Yep.
You're just giving them points. It's no different than scoring buckets at the foul line when the clock's not running. You have to take advantage of those situations. And since we're talking about foul shots, make your damn foul shots tonight as well.
Last night, the Lakers lose 108-106. They're eliminated by the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Los Angeles misses 9 free throws in a 2-point game.
Amazing.
Right? And LeBron missed a game. Hey, by the way, LeBron James last night played his ass off. He wasn't the reason the Lakers lost. He looked as good as, well, he did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the post game. They asked LeBron, the last question they asked LeBron James is, hey, have you given any thought to this, and I'm paraphrasing, maybe being the last game for you in a Lakers uniform. And he looked at the reporter, and he just smiled and goes, He goes, I'm not going to answer that. I appreciate it, though. And he walked away, meaning, all right, player option. Does he come back to L.A. next year, or does he go elsewhere looking to win that fifth ring? And dare I say, I'm coming home.
Now, I don't know if I would go that far. But the thing is with LeBron James is he knows one thing for sure. All eyes are on him. And he knows that he can leave if he wants to. And I don't think he's that well received in L.A. anyway, just because of the fact that they expect a little bit more. And did you realize this with LeBron? When it comes to LeBron James, LeBron James has only won 2 playoff series in the last 4 seasons combined. That's amazing to me. So if you're a Laker fan, or if you're the Laker brass, one thing's for sure. He's larger than life. We want to keep him here. But if you're the fan base, you're looking at it going, hey, this isn't what we signed up for. Where's the Kobe Bryant? Where's the Magic Johnson? We need somebody to leave us to promised land because we play for championships. We don't care about getting to the playoffs. Well, guess what? Maybe if you do go and team up, and I heard Windhorst say this today, that LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry may or still be some of the greatest talent in the league, but they're not good enough to lead their teams to the promised land. But guess what? They're good enough to team up with somebody like Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, and that's what a lot of the scuttlebutt is right now, that one of those guys, maybe Durant decides to opt out of his contract. Steph's not going anywhere. But you know one thing about LeBron James is he's not afraid to go somewhere.
No, he will pack and travel, that's for sure. And
I'm not doing this again, though.
Yeah, well, he told me that.
Right.
How about that? I'll never forget that. He comes home the second time. We're at the University of Akron, InfoCision Stadium. We're in a press conference room. And I asked him a question about, is this your last? He goes, yeah, I'm not doing this again. I'm done traveling. And then he goes out to L.A. So anything is possible with LeBron.
Not only did he just go out to L.A., he stayed there for like 7 or 8 seasons, which is amazing. It might have been interesting when he came back and said that I'm not going through this again because he thought he'd retire.
Yeah, well.
But, man, that motor's still going. And like you said, he almost had a triple-double last night.
Hey, here's the thing about LeBron that's made him who he is. He made sure he got an oil change every 35,000 miles to keep that engine, right, running in tip-top shape. And it's still running smoothly. Yeah. And last night, like I said, he wasn't the reason they lost to the Denver Nuggets. And so we'll see where he ends up going should he decide to leave Los Angeles, as he has a player option. Now, if he opts out, that's $51 million he's turning down. So is he going to make that up somewhere else, or is he at the point as a billionaire, money's not the issue, another championship might be more important than the $50 million he's passing up with the player option should he leave Los Angeles? So, we'll see. We'll travel down that road eventually, and hopefully it's not within the next few days, right?
Right.
Because the Cavaliers, we're hoping win tonight. Win game 6, wrap this series up 4-2, and then they take on the Boston Celtics in round 2, which is looking more and more like a possibility.
Yeah.
Although Kristaps Porzingis with Alani Chisenhall
sure
last night,
like
he left that game with a calf strain, and I thought at first it might have been an Achilles, but they said it's just a calf strain, so that's something to keep an eye on because he's been a huge factor in the Celtics being who they are this year.
Well, he had an ankle first. They didn't take him out of the game, and then all of a sudden he blows out his calf or at least pulled it or whatever. And by the way, you never know who you're going to run into at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Bulldogs everywhere. Rocco Marigas is with us
today. How about
today.
That, Rocco?
My man.
He's making sure the
you're
arena looks spick and span clean, man. He's getting this place ready to rock and roll for tonight's 8 o'clock tip-off. Cavaliers and the Nuggets tonight. We hey, we're thrilled to be here. Extended pregame show from 3 until 7:30 when we turn it over to Tim Alcorn, Mike Snyder and company. And by the way, Tim Alcorn going to join us at 4 o'clock today.
Hey, you know Rocco, getting back to Rocco, he's still with the Charge. And as we talk about some of these guys that are on their way up to maybe becoming a GM somewhere, remember that name, Rocco Americans.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying because, you know, that's every step we know.
Hey.
And we've seen it in every sport that we know, from the Browns to the Guardians, that you start off somewhere.
Yep.
And this dude's been with this organization long enough that at least he made the move from Canton to Cleveland.
Right.
And he's actually doing stuff with the Cavaliers.
Yeah. So Cavaliers need to do some things tonight. They need to do stuff that they didn't do in games 3 and 4. One of the things they need to do is play tougher, be more physical, be more mentally tough as well. Because at times when it starts going bad, you look at the and I pay attention to body language, right? I look at the, and tonight I'm going to be watching this closely. I'm going to be watching the bench and the hunt. And by the way, we took some photos down on the bench. How do you like the seats the Cavaliers players get to sit on?
I don't
bench?
Like them at all because they're nicer than anything I own in my house.
They are extra high cushioned seats with the seat warmers like you get in your car for the guys that need to keep their back warm and everything.
I would imagine that's what a truck driver rides around in. You're a truck driver. You need a nice, comfortable chair. You're going over the road, right?
Yeah.
For hours at a time. I bet you those things, because they're like leather, too.
They are leather. Call trucker Linda Smith. See if he can tell
us. He doesn't know. He's not a trucker. He's not. I'm talking about a truck driver. You know, I want to go back to this physicality thing and wonder if it's not overblown a little bit. Did they get pushed around more last year against the Knicks? Absolutely. Are they getting pushed around in this series? I don't know. You were able to win two games. I didn't really pay that much attention to the physicality because you're just getting blown out. And let's remember, Orlando was shooting a lot better at home than they did on the road. So if all things matter and Orlando doesn't shoot the ball that well and the Cavaliers respond tonight, it's a 5.5-point spread. And the Cavaliers are favored.
Yeah.
You got to look at it in the terms of, okay, little home cooking. You got the 19,000, whatever the number is, people here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse just going berserk. You're getting free T-shirts, too, by the way. They're going to be going nuts. They're going to be loud. They're going to keep you in this game. You're not going to let that team get on as many runs as they did in Orlando, because I told you after game two, if you let that team continually get on those 10-0 runs, 10-2 runs, 8-2 runs, it doesn't bode well for this team because sometimes they don't respond. That's not physicality. To me, that's between the ears, and they need to focus a little bit more.
I think they got pushed around in Orlando like they did by the Knicks last year. When I see the Wagner brothers flexing and not showing any fear whatsoever, driving to the basket, when I see Jalen Suggs muscling up and going nose-to-nose with Darius Garland, right, near midcourt and everything like that, there's no fear. There is no fear of this Orlando Magic team or this Cavs team. None whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They do not fear that. Now, they may be too dumb to know that they're not supposed to win, but JT, the youngest team in the NBA completed a 4-game sweep last night.
Right.
The Oklahoma City Thunder of the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, New Orleans without its best players, Zion Williamson, but still, 23 and some change is the average age of that team.
I get it.
So don't give me this young crap as an excuse as to why maybe you don't
advance. We're the ones that brought that up. What I'm saying is, getting back to the physicality thing, what did we see last year against the Knicks? We're getting beat up in the paint. That's not the case this year. So what the difference is, somehow, some way, those guys, yeah, they're chirping a lot. And I told you that when they were playing here last week, they chirp a lot. What shuts them down is you start knocking down some shots, because the Cavaliers are able to hold their own in the paint this year, or at least against this team. So if that's what makes it work, you got to dance with who brought you and keep working the paint tonight.
Well, that's where
In the game they got blown out this last game, game three, Cavaliers outscored Orlando in the paint 54-52.
The Cavaliers' advantage is Jared Allen. And by the way, we're waiting to get an update on him. I heard on the radio driving in today that he's got a rib bruise or rib contusion or something. It might have an illness. So we're waiting to get clarification, update, whatever, on Jared Allen's availability for tonight's game. Currently, we heard he's listed as questionable. Now, whether that's been updated one way or the other from the last we heard, don't know, but we'll try and keep you posted on that as much as we can. Shout out to Mark Munch Bishop listening to us today.
Munchie's
filled in for us on WHBC when we're on vacation and that, so he's checking us out. So
Tell him I need him the day you're doing the Monsters game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll let you know on that, Munchie. I've got a Monsters TV game hopefully coming up here in the playoffs, so you can join JT for that one. What, as far as Donovan Mitchell tonight, because there's that promo that's running. Is playoff experience a thing? Is playoff Spider a thing? Is playoff, Zion a thing, right? You know, and they're saying, well, it's not a thing. No, it is a thing, right? Playoff Brunson is a thing for the New York Knicks. Playoff, pick another name, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a thing. Are we going to see Donovan Mitchell rise to the occasion tonight and do what a $50 million a year player, and that's what he could sign for with the Cavaliers, 4 years, $200 million, either this summer or next summer, whatever it is. Are we going to see him show up and dominate this game like a superstar is supposed to for his team?
Kenny, we'll go back into last couple of years in baseball. And every time, whether it was Shane Bieber or any other pitcher that wasn't pitching lights out, what's the first thing came to your mind? He's injured.
Yeah.
He's hurt. You asked me a question about Donovan Mitchell. We're going to see him break out tonight? I don't know. Is he 100%? Is he close to it? Everything that I keep hearing is no. And if that knee is really bothering him, you're not seeing the same attacking Donovan Mitchell that we've seen throughout the course of the regular season. When you come to a game and people are chanting MVP.
Right.
MVP. Now, what separates him from somebody like Joel Embiid, who's got a knee that looks like as big as a watermelon, and he's got Bell's palsy, he's got chronic headaches, he's got migraines, and he's a question mark tonight. But if he plays, you know what you're getting out of him.
He got 50 the other night with all of
he's
that.
He's going to give you everything he can give you. Now, Donovan Mitchell's giving you as much as he can give you, but maybe that knee's a little bit worse right now. Remember this, Embiid at least had surgery. I don't know what's going on with this knee with Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to hope that it's an injury. And if it's not, we're going to have a long off season to figure out what they're going to do, what the next move might be with Donovan Mitchell. Because let's remember, he's still under contract next season. But if this is what you get in the playoffs, is this what you signed up for?
You take him in uniform, obviously. If he's not 100%, well, give whatever you can. If they know he's not 100%, then guess what? The guys that are Darius Garland, the guys that are Evan Mobley, Max Strus, Jared Allen, then they need to pick up the slack for an injured teammate who's trying to play through some pain. So if he's not 100 and can't give you the 30, the 35, the 40 you would expect him to give you as the leader of this team, then Darius Garland's got to step up. And, like, who's the kid from Boston last night? Derek White? Dropped 38 points last night when Porzingis went out with an injury. Somebody needs to do that for the Cavaliers.
It's called game plan, and that's up to J.B. Bickerstaff. We were talking to Sam Amico the other day. What did he say? When Donovan runs the one, this team plays better.
No.
Maybe you've got to coach these guys up a little bit differently and not rely on what got you here because, let's face it, a lot of times you say you dance with who brought you, but not in playoff basketball because things change. The officiating's changed. It is a much rougher game.
Physical.
So you don't get those wide-open threes to where you can knock down or take 44 of them a night. And you've got to change the offense. Maybe you change your rotation. Maybe you run a different play scheme. I don't know what it is. We do know this. Cavaliers seemingly had practice yesterday and were working on some things they thought they saw. Let's see if they come to fruition tonight.
How about this? Two players on the Cavaliers roster have made more than three three-pointers in this series. That's it. 29 of 123 as a team. George Niang, 1 for 11. Caris LeVert, 3 for 13. Max Strus couldn't hit water if he fell out of the Titanic. 3 for 17. Evan Mobley made his first two. Since then, he's 1 for 9 from beyond the arc. If it's not working from beyond the arc, then go inside, control the paint, get the easy paint points, and score the basketball that way.
At least build your confidence, right?
Yeah. Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to hear from Tim Alcorn, Cavs radio voice. We're also going to hear from Evan Mobley, Caris LeVert, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, J.B. Bickerstaff, and more as we get you ready for Game 5 tonight. Cavaliers and Magic, 8 o'clock tip-off right here on WHBC.
This is Donovan Mitchell from your Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.